some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, July 5th, 2011. It is with a heavy heart that I inform you that my good friend and co-host, Ray Dieter, passed away on Sunday from injuries sustained in a bicycle accident last week. The seat across from me is now empty, and though any number of people can sit in it, no one can fill it as Ray Dieter did. Over the last week, we have been overwhelmed with the outpouring of love and affection for Ray. He had a talent for making friends, and if there is any bright spot in this tragic situation, we are comforted by the idea that such a great guy did not go through this life unappreciated. Later in the show, we will run some never-before-heard audio of Ray telling his story in his own words. I hope you'll enjoy this chance to listen to Ray as we knew him. Our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com, sends its condolences to Ray's family and friends with the following message. The beer community has lost a great friend today. We offer our sympathies to Ray's families and grieve with his friends. Above all, we raise a glass to his memory and toast his contributions to the beer world. New York and New Orleans beer lovers have benefited from his passion for good beer for over 17 years, and we are confident that his influence will live on for many more. Our friends and supporters at the Good Beer Seal, of which Ray was a founding member, offer their condolences as well. Ray has been a great friend and inspiration to us all. He will be missed. Tonight, we continue the mission of Beer Sessions Radio that we started together over a year ago, and we offer a toast to Ray Dieter, whose absence is deeply felt. In celebrating Ray's life, we offer the words of Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened to Ray. And have a little moment of silence, but I'm joined by two good friends, Craig Freimark and Evan Klein from Barrier Brewing. And we decided tonight that we're going to start off by drinking some of Ray's favorite beers. We knew last week that Ray was tragically injured, and we have finally had his passing. Some of his favorite beers have been Saison DuPont and Fuller's. His good friend Dan Shelton from Shelton Brothers Imports wrote in, gave an exhaustive list, including Mars Ungespundent, the Bluebird Bitter, Duranky XX, many Cantalons, Taurus Bulba, Special Rauch, and many more. And we will continue to toast Ray every week with some of his favorite beers. Right now we're drinking the Duranky Creek, which is a very limited, rare sour beer from Duranky in Belgium. And check out a lot of things. There's a DBA, in Facebook, there's DBA East Village and DBA Brooklyn. They've posted, a lot of people have posted tributes, videos, photos, and recordings of Ray. You can go back through the archives of Beer Sessions Radio, going back well over a year now, and you can hear Ray on over 50 episodes talking and chatting. And a little later tonight, we about 2 years ago, before we did Beer Sessions Radio, I went with a couple of friends and we interviewed Ray just to try out what a podcast would be like. And I've never heard it either. We got hold of that, and Jack Inslee and Bree O'Connor have edited it, and there'll be some things at the end of the show. Again, everyone raise your glass. Ray Dieter, rest in peace. God bless you, Ray. We loved you. Thank you. Well, here we are, Beer Sessions Radio. It's a very quiet night. Evan and Craig, how are you guys? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back again. We always appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having us.
We'll jump you up to what's going on in the world of beer today. Barrier Brewing, you guys want some special competitions at the New York Tap Festival? Is that the what's the official thing that you won?
We believe it or not, we won the FX Matt Memorial Cup for the best craft brewery in the state of New York. It was caught us totally by surprise, obviously. I mean, this past two Saturdays ago, we celebrated our one-year anniversary. So we were up at that festival back in the end of April, not even a year old at that point. And so we were, you know, hoping or at least thinking it might be really cool if we could take home maybe a bronze medal or something with a single beer of ours. The last thing we expected was to walk away with the big golden cup. And in fact, when they announced our name, we didn't even really know what was going on. We heard applause and we heard Barrier Brewing Company, but it wasn't until we got up to the stage and, you know, this giant golden trophy was waiting for us. And I asked the guy, you know exactly what we were being called up for. And he said, best brewery in New York State. And then we just kind of looked at each other dumbfounded. In disbelief, really, but just so excited. I mean, it was actually really emotional.
If you go, yeah, it really was. If you go to the website for Hunter Mountain for Tap New York Festival, the picture, there's actually a picture that rotates on like a banner on top of the webpage, and that picture is like right when we realized what we actually won. So yeah. You'll see both our reactions, and it's pretty like
Evan has the really great dumbfounded look.
Yeah, it's definitely dumbfounded. It's a good descriptor.
Well, you guys, it was a few weeks ago. Ray Dieter was at my bar, Jimmy's Number 43. And I think we stayed up late drinking your Bulkhead Red Ale, which is very drinkable, but more than that, you know. What is that beer? It's an awesome beer.
Yeah, it's a hoppy American Red Ale that it's got a really nice like malt body, like nice caramel notes and like some burnt sugar flavors from the malts, and just a really nice like citrus spice hop nose to it. Kind of it's not overly bitter, so it's some people kind of think it's a red IPA because it is very hop flavor forward, but it's more like aroma and flavor from the hops and bitterness. It's just it's a balanced beer in terms of malt sweetness and the hop bitterness, but it's just really drinkable, and every sip gives you a different flavor that you can kind of try to identify, and it's definitely a hop head beer because it's really really hop forward, but well balanced at the same time.
I think that's too one of the things people enjoy about it so much, and us as well, even in the approach to brewing it. There's a lot of red ales out there, but not enough of them, in my opinion, have a lot of hops and a lot of hop flavor in there, and I think it's a great combination. I think if you can find a nice balance between some of those caramel crystal specialty malts and a nice kind of tropical, fruity hop flavor, I think the combination goes great. And there's just not a ton of hoppy red ales out there, so people have really jumped on board with that one, and that's kind of one of the cult favorites now at the brewery.
You guys make quite a variety of beers. I mean, I've had everything from a saison style to a pale ale. You usually made a dark mild, in addition to Belgian style beers. I mean, how do you keep up with that? You've made at least what, 8 styles of beer now?
We're actually I think we just brewed a red saison, and I think that made 22.
Yeah, we're up to 22 now.
And every week we brew 12 batches. For the most part, we try to do at least 10 different beers a week. So within a 2-week span, we can produce our whole catalog of beers available. And, it's just an ever-growing list. We're always talking with each other while we're brewing or delivering beers, whatever the case may be. We're always thinking about what our next beer is going to be. We'd like to be upwards of, between 30 and 40 beers in steady rotation before the end of the year. We actually have a new beer that we're going to brew for an event we're doing at Jimmy's 43 with you on July 23rd. It's going to be like a Helles, like Rauch beer, kind of like a nice smoky light beer. That can be enjoyed in the summer. So we're looking forward to debuting that with you guys.
Sounds good. Hey, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with our guests about Barrier Brewing. And again, let's raise our glasses to Ray Dieter, our good friend, on Beer Sessions Radio.
La, la. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, don't you know, my darling? I said it right now, and the cotton is high. Like a
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Again, I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and raise our glasses tonight to our departed co-host, Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars. Hello to his family and friends. We loved Ray, and his seat's sitting across from me tonight, empty, but we're here. He's in here in spirit with us right now. Today's podcast is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. When we first started the show over almost a year and a half ago, the Good Beer Seal was a sponsor. That meant us. But very quickly, GreatBrewers.com came in, thanks to guys like Ray Dieter and Dave Broderick at Blind Tiger. So they've been supportive of us all the way. And I would say go to GreatBrewers.com, check it out, take the Great Brewers 100 test, and you know, you'll learn more about them. All right, we got Craig and Evan from Barrier Brewing here, the winners of Tap New York, the best brewery in New York State, and I love their beers. At Jimmy's, we get at least 2 kegs a week from them every week. I've tried at least 8 of their beers, and they said they have 22 beers. For a small brewery, that's pretty impressive. But you guys do everything, don't you? I mean, you brew, you deliver, and you don't even bill. You just do business.
Yeah, we're
streamlined, efficient.
We're the brewers, the distributors, the sales reps, the keg washers, the cellarmen, and every other odd job that's needed at the brewery.
So it keeps us very busy. That's a special thing about New York State, though, that you can do that, right?
Yeah, New York allows us to self-distribute. A lot of states have varying degrees of the three-tier system, so some states don't allow the actual producer of the beer, the brewery, to deliver it. They have to use a wholesaler. That's fortunate.
It's great for
New York.
You guys. Yeah. So I can actually go out to Oceanside, Long Island, and I can buy a growler from you guys.
Absolutely. Fill a growler. Yeah.
So you can do that. You can fill a growler or sell bottles. You can sell directly to bars and restaurants that are licensed, and you can distribute as well, right?
Yeah, up to 60,000 barrels annually. Right now, this year, we're on pace on our one-barrel system to do just about 600 barrels. So, in theory, we can grow 100 times our current size and still self-distribute. Although, that would be a lot of beer to distribute just with 2 people. At that point, we'd probably need maybe a third guy part-time.
Do you guys think you're that special? I mean, I think you're that special, and I know the beers speak for themselves. But do you guys think that you're that special, or do you think that a lot of other guys could do what you're doing?
I mean, I think we're making unique beers. You know, I don't think we're necessarily, you know, reinventing the wheel. I think, you know, we're both huge fans and proponents of the beer we're making. We're very proud of it. So we don't think anyone could do it. But I mean, if you can make good beer, you could do it.
I wouldn't use the word special, no. But I don't think what we're doing is something that a lot of people could do. For one, just the amount of work it takes. We put in 90 hours a week, Monday through Saturday, and sometimes even do some stuff on Sundays. It's a huge commitment, and I think a lot of people in general, you know, just find it. I mean, we ourselves find it difficult sometimes to put that much into it. But we're very passionate and enthusiastic about what we do, and especially, you know, being early on in the infancy of this company. We're willing to put forth whatever it takes to make sure it succeeds. And it's a commitment and a discipline and a work ethic that's, you know, a little more rare, I think, to find in just any old person. But, I mean, I certainly think, you know, it could be replicated by others. And I think it would be kind of cool to see some other small breweries, you know, wheeling and dealing and pushing their beer out and doing that.
Well, off the top of my head, I can't think of another brewery in the country. I'm sure, I don't want to say that there's not, but on the size system we're brewing, I don't know any other breweries that small that are going to produce 600 barrels in a year with two employees. You know, 600 barrels a year is like it could be a brew pub number. You know, with a 7-barrel system, that's like some annual production figures for like a 7-barrel brew pub. So for a one batch production facility to a 1-barrel batch production brewery to do that, it's pretty crazy.
I think the variety too is pretty unique. We had a guy come visit the brewery last Wednesday, who is on this expedition right now, traveling across country, trying to visit over 100 breweries. Yeah. In, I think he said he's been on the road for 7 weeks, and he's got 7 weeks to go. And so at this point, he's already visited 50 plus. And he said, you know, we had the largest offering of beers he's seen at a brewery yet. So that obviously made us feel good and a little special. But we have the advantages with the small system that we have and 17 fermenters. That gives us the ability to manage several different yeast strains. Right now we have 6 different yeast strains operating in the brewery, and that's what gives us a lot of that freedom and creativity to produce everything from you know, a couple lagers to some saisons, some American style ales, English, Scottish, German, and really just kind of keep that going. And especially since a batch only yields us 2 kegs, it doesn't take a very long time to burn through that inventory. So that's kind of why we take that opportunity, instead of trying to brew 10 batches of one beer to have 20 kegs, we'd like to brew, you know, 10 batches of 10 different beers and have 2 kegs of each, and really just kind of explore, you know, everything beer has to offer, really.
Yeah, it's fun for us to constantly, you know, be working on recipes and developing new recipes, and it's also fun for our accounts, you know, because they get a different beer every couple of weeks, and, you know, everyone likes it, and, you know, they move through it, and, you know, just kind of helps everyone, like, round out their, you know, their draft offerings.
So. And without a doubt, it gives us a bit of a competitive edge, I think, in the marketplace and in distributing. If a bar already has an IPA and a wheat beer and, you know, a pale ale on tap, but they are looking for a stout or a porter, we've got it. If they have that, but they need a, you know, an English session beer or a nice dry spicy saison, I mean, we can cater, I think, to most accounts' needs, you know, within a week's time or so.
What beer is this? It's like a lighter, real easy drinking beer.
Yeah, this is the Cycle Saison. This is the first saison that we did. We now have this one along with the Spelunker, which is a dark saison, and the Vermilion, which is still in the fermentation tanks right now. That's the red saison. So this kind of got the ball rolling for us. And in that sense, we just wanted to take a very kind of traditional approach to it. A nice low ABV with a really kind of strong, dry, spicy character. You know, minimal use of specialty grains or really kind of crazy hop additions, but really just kind of celebrate and take advantage of what this farmhouse yeast does to a beer. You know, for our own educational purposes as well, just to get a firm grasp on the yeast strain, and also too, just to produce those kind of classic saisons that were really all about the yeast and just a very simple base malt.
What other beers did you bring today, Greg?
We have with us, we actually kind of brought a portion of our Belgian family of ales, I guess. We have the Spelunker, the dark saison, which I just mentioned, as well as the Belgian one, which you've had on tap a number of times. That's a Belgian pale ale. That's about 7.5%, so it's a little stronger up there, but it's still got a nice dry quality to it, a nice kind of Belgian fruitiness and a nice kind of hop spiciness to it. And then the Mare Undarum, which is our take on a Belgian IPA, which was really trying to find a good balance and marriage between a Belgian ale.
Let's
and
pop
an
that
IPA.
One, the Mare Undarum.
Sure.
I got that the first time I saw the beer. I thought it was Mare Underarm. I thought you were making fun of Latin. Were you?
No, we were, you know, we were, I guess, trying to be somewhat, not, I don't want to say serious, but yeah, we were just going for the literal meaning, you know, sea of waves. It's a crater on the moon as well. Kind of keeps with the maritime, or, you know, kind of theme we like to go back and forth with the brewery, you know, having a maritime theme. We're both huge fans of water in general, the ocean, ponds, lakes.
Evan's also a big surfer, which he failed to mention. And, you know, as surfers, it's all about the tides and the waves. And the moon has a huge influence on that. So we thought naming it after one of the craters on the moon that's titled the Sea of Waves or the Sea of Tides seemed very appropriate. It also, we just thought it had a very nice kind of monkish sounding name, Mare Undarum. We kind of, every time we brew it, we envision ourselves, you know, as monks in this old monastery, just chanting the Mare Undarum.
With robes on, with big hoods.
Yeah.
So we kind of
somewhere
piece it, on the
it comes across. I mean, you guys pull it off. I mean, there's no brewery. Well, there's a couple. There was a while when Six Point was started, and then Green Flash came on the seen that pretty much anything they had, I would order. But really, right now, you guys are the only ones where I'm just like, bring it on. And there's times I'm like, oh, I like the porter so much or the brown ale. But you, I like the mix. And I don't know, am I the only one who orders that way? Or does everybody just get what you give them?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, that's one of the things we feel really fortunate about. I mean, with the accounts we have, they have that same philosophy. I mean, we've tried to build up a reputation, you know, where we really stand behind the product and the beers we make and believe that, you know, each one is a really solid beer. We're not, you know, kind of embarrassed about anyone or trying to push a flagship and hope that it carries the other weaker brands. We're equally proud of every single beer we have, and a lot of times people ask us, especially coming to the brewery for growler fills, you know, which one's our favorite, and neither of us can answer that question because they're all our favorite. And a lot of the bars kind of seem to be in agreement, or at least, you know, they're happy to just take, you know, two or three kegs of whatever we'd like to bring them each week.
What are some of the bars that you're pouring at right now? So our listeners say, like, between now and the end of July, what other bars can I go to and drink Barrier at?
In the city, Manhattan, all three of the dive bars usually get a fairly steady flow of beer. Rattle and Hum, Pony Bar, Jimmy's 43, Beer Craft in Park Slope in Brooklyn, Beer Table, Sycamore, Franny's usually orders every couple weeks.
Bar Great Harry and Mission Dolores always carry the beer. Beer Table, did you already mention that?
I believe so.
61 Local in Bergen. That's where we had our anniversary party. They carry our beer every week as well too. And it's great. I mean, between all those accounts and some that we have more locally by the brewery out in Long Island, we're brewing as much as we can physically handle each week, and we're selling it all out every week. So we're kind of at our capacity, which is a great thing. I mean, it feels really good a year in to kind of be operating at the level we're at. We weren't really sure if we'd be at this mark, you know, so soon or at all. So
yeah. Well, cheers, you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So 1 year anniversary, Barrier Brewing. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What's 61 Local like? I've heard about it. I haven't been over there yet.
It's a great, great spot. The approach behind it, or their philosophy, is to really kind of embrace the concept of a public house, meaning, you know, this kind of communal spot where everyone from the community, from, you know, businessmen and women to artists to craftsmen, and everyone can kind of come there to relax, unwind, share in the local products of the community, and just kind of interact together. So everything on the menu, from the beers and the wines that they have on draft as well, to the menu items, everything's locally sourced. A lot of the tools they use as well, all the knives come from Cut Brooklyn, and a lot of the interior decor reflects the local community and is made out of you know, refurbished or recycled parts from the area. And it's put together really well. It's, you know, I don't know, 30-foot ceilings, yeah, maybe. So it feels very
open,
kind of spacious,
yeah,
but also cozy at the same time. It's a great place to just kind of relax and have a beer, and chances are you'll strike up a conversation
sounds really
with someone.
Cool. So this Mar Undrum?
How do you say it? Undarum.
Undarum.
Although you're not the first one to think it's...
Underarm?
The mayor's underarm. So that's kind of the underground name it has now.
I like it. You know what I like about your beers too is that whenever I put them on, I never quite know what I'm going to get, and I find that sometimes when I drink a beer that I have to adjust my palate. You know, you're drinking one style of beer or one hoppiness, and you have to be flexible when you're drinking beer. And some people, I think that people with good palates know that. But I'll tell you guys, I miss Ray a lot. Right now, he'd be joining in saying something fun. And we're going to just take a short break, all right? We'll return with a special tribute to our friend Ray Dieter next on Beer Sessions Radio.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight searching for you. I stop to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome as I can be. I go out walking after midnight out in the starlight, hoping you may be somewhere a-walking after midnight searching for me.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today's podcast is sponsored by GreatBrewers.com and supported by the Good Beer Seal. Did you know that it's the 3rd July Good Beer Month? It's here, and there are tons of great beer events going on throughout the entire month of July, including the Get Real Belgian Festival, Cookout NYC, tastings, beer brunches, and so much more. You can get more details about these events by checking out the calendar and blog on GoodBeerSeal.com. Ray Dieter was a big part of the Good Beer Seal. He co-founded it several years ago, and I would just check out the site, and there's some really neat things. There's going to be a WNYC webcast. There's an event tomorrow night, Wednesday, at a Brooklyn brewery called Kegs and Cluckers, which is pretty awesome. You basically have all these homebrewers bringing their spent grain, and they're going to give it to community gardeners who have chickens. And I think the code word is spent grain exchange. And, of course, they drink beer. What do you guys think of that? Isn't that cool?
I love it. I think it's a great idea. As homebrewing, that was always the one thing I was scratching my head with, is what do you do with the spent grain? There's only so many spent grain loaves of bread you can make before that gets a little boring. And without having a backyard, there really wasn't an opportunity to compost it or put it into the soil, so... unfortunately, it just got tossed away. So I think it's great if they found a nice way to kind of recycle it and give it a second use. I know at Six Point, the chickens up there love the spent grain.
Well, chickens, I mean, that's a whole other movement, but it kind of ties in. There's like home cider making and beer making. But I have these friends with a compost facility on Governor's Island, and they've got 30 chickens there, and because they need something to kind of pick through waste and create nitrogen, create the whole cycle, you know. So I think that chicken raising is on the rise. Sounds good. Doesn't that sound weird?
Yeah.
Chicken raising is on the rise, but Just Food's behind it, and they're doing the Kegs and Cluckers tomorrow. What do you guys do with the spent grain at Barrier? Well, how much spent grain do you actually have?
I mean, we're brewing four batches a day, three times a week, so 12 batches a week. So we're probably close to 1,500 pounds of spent grain a week that we're producing. And unfortunately, I hate saying it, but we're unfortunately throwing a lot of it away. We have some people that come by the brewery and, you know, have an interest of picking it up, and we try to do what we can in those regards. But for the most part, you know, our budget's kind of tight, and we don't have the resources to really transport it around ourselves, nor
so if we put the word out that people could come and get it,
we have a lot. Yeah.
Maybe some of these chicken farmers, they might
sure
like it. One of the coolest examples I saw of the cycle of the spent grain becomes something. A few years ago, I was in Amsterdam, and there's a cute little brew pub on the river called the Brouwery IJ, and it's a tiny brew pub. It's really great. They basically just sell as much beer as they can make. But with their spent grain, it goes to a farmer on the other side of town, and he feeds it to his sheep. And then from the sheep's milk, he makes a nice, like, sheep's milk camembert cheese, which they turn around and sell at the brew pub. And that's kind of neat.
That is cool.
That, like, is pretty straightforward. And, wow, that's a great cycle. But with the spent grain, you know, maybe we'll talk to some of the community gardeners. You never know. They might organize a little truck drive out to you guys.
Yeah. That'd We'd be glad to. There is a mulch and compost facility not too far from the brewery that we've been trying to have a conversation with and see if maybe, you know, they could take some of it, just to try to find another use for it. Because from what I understand, it does make a nice compost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the coolest thing would be, you know, you'd be able to feed it to some animals, and from that, you know, we could get back a product, whether it's cheese or bacon or something else, and serve it at a festival.
Definitely.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
The Barrius Van Crane Project. But you guys don't need, you guys are doing the right things, and love working with you guys. What's the next beer that we're trying right now?
This is the Spelunker, the Dark Saison. A Spelunker, a lot of people ask us where some of our beer names come from, because they are kind of a little wacky from time to time. This one was just more of an imagery thing, I think, than anything else. A dark, kind of funky, Saison-esque beer. Just kind of made us start thinking of caves and caverns and
adventures. It's the perfect
adventures.
Beer to drink in a cave.
Yeah. So it, you know, it, the word Spelunker just kind of came up in conversation as we were brewing it. Well, as we were, you know, planning and thinking out the beer anyway. It just kind of stuck. We like the sound of it, and it's a funky name for a funky beer. It's a very loose style. I mean, Saisons in general are probably one of the least defined, you know, beer styles, or have the least, you know, parameters around them. They're very open to interpretation. And that extends even farther when you go into to dark Saisons.
You know, it's funny. We had Don Feinberg from Van Berger the Wolf on this winter. And he said that when he first went over to Belgium 30 years ago, the brewery that we know as Saison de Pont, they were 2 months away from canceling production of the Saison beer. And with that, the style would have gone out forever. That's how little interest there was in the Saison style 30 years ago. And now it's like it's the hot style.
Yeah,
everyone's doing Saison.
Thanks to Saison de Pont then for keeping that style alive. That's one of my favorite beers as well. That beer is always there's always one bottle of it in my home fridge for that time when I need it.
Well, the American importer saved it. That's what happened. But cool.
We're happy to carry on the tradition.
This is a really good beer.
It's really unique. I still have trouble describing this beer. You know, some of the accounts like to have a little description of the beers when we give it to them, and I still scratch my head on this one every time. I think my description changes every week based
on the problem with Saison. It's still kind of, you're right, it's a loose style, but dark Saison to me, that means something. This is a dark Saison. I had a local brewery that we know, they made what they called a black Saison, and it just didn't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they basically had made like a porter. And then they just changed the yeast, and they said, well, instead of a porter now, it's a Saison.
Right.
I'm like, I didn't quite cut it. You know, but this to me does taste like a dark Saison.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm actually getting kind of an oaky flavor on this beer, which I haven't picked up before. But we also, I think it's got like licorice root flavors. It's got a very herbal, peppery quality.
Raisins.
It's a really unique flavor. And it took me a while to even, you know, fully appreciate it. The first time I tried the beer, I wasn't sure what to think about it, and it's really grown on me a lot. And you know, I think Evan feels fun to brew this one.
Yeah,
one of our friends, Dan Shelton, who's a big friend of Ray Dieter, he said that some of Ray's favorite beers were Saisons. Blaugy was one of them. Giant has a Saison Voisin. I don't know if I can pronounce these right, but they're all in my fridge, and they're all from Shelton Brothers. And you know, Saison's a great style, and we know that our friend Ray Dieter appreciate. I'm going to give I'm going to read a little bit from Eric Asimov from the New York Times. Wrote a really great obituary yesterday for Ray Dieter. I'm only going to say a few lines from it, but what he said was, back then and even today, when Ray had started DBA in the 90s, the elementary task of properly serving draft beer seemed beyond many bars, which seemed oblivious to the precepts of maintaining cleanliness and freshness. But DBA's draft beers were impeccable. That's a really great thing to say, Eric. And also, Mr. Dieter pioneered the serving of cask-conditioned ales in New York, beers produced according to traditional British practices. Beer was not Mr. Dieter's only obsession. The beer also anticipated the renewed American interest in whiskeys and spirits, with an excellent selection of single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and ports. Eventually, Mr. Dieter opened branches of DBA in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and in New Orleans. We really appreciate that Eric Asimov, the New York Times, wrote an elegant and eloquent obituary yesterday. On that note, we're going to give a little tribute to Ray. Back in 2009, the Good Beer Seal offered up the first July Good Beer Month. Back then, there were only 15 bars with membership in the Good Beer Seal, but we were off to a good start. Mayor Bloomberg issued a proclamation that July is Good Beer Month, and Ray and I sat down with some friends at Heartland Brewery to talk about beer, the Good Beer Seal, and the first July Good Beer Month. Here are some clips from that discussion. I hope you enjoy listening to Ray's story in his own words.
My name is Ray Dieter, and I own the DBA family of bars on First Avenue between 2nd and 3rd Street in the East Village, over in Williamsburg on North 7th Street between Berry and White, and down in New Orleans on Frenchman Street. A good friend of mine, his girlfriend dumped him because he had no future. She said, that you're going to be nobody, and I don't want to be with a nobody. It wasn't me, it was my friend. I was married and I had a little baby. And he calls me up and he said, Ray, let's open a bar. And I was like, no. Then he called me back and I was like, Ray, let's open a bar up. You know, I've got a friend who's got some money, I got some money. And I said, I have no money, I've got a baby, you know, and I got a gig that has health insurance. And I said no. So a few weeks later, I was having dinner with my wife and my baby, and she asked me if I had seen my friend Dennis recently, and I said, yeah, in fact, he called me up and he wants me to open a bar with him. She's like, you'd be really good at that. You hate your job, but you should do that. You'd be good at it. And I was like, really? Like, I should quit my job and, like, lose our health insurance and risk everything and open a bar? She's like, yes, you're miserable now all the time. You hate your job, I never see you anyway. You're not making much money. So anyway, so that was basically like, quick little story behind the DBA. Dennis and I were looking at a location at 25 Great Jones Street, which was actually Robert Rauschenberg's warehouse for his artwork. And I was really privileged. We got in there and I saw like a lot of his artwork just sitting around, like zillions of dollars worth of incredible artwork, like the goat with a tire around its neck, like sitting there. Like, holy cow. Holy goat, right? But the zoning was incorrect for what we wanted to do at the time. The name we had for that bar was going to be 25 Great Jones.
Oh, okay.
Which we kind of shortened to 25 Jones. And we kind of liked that, 25 Jones. Because it's on Great Jones Street, and address is 25. Anyway, so we opened this bar. We get this location at 41 First Avenue, between 2nd and 3rd Streets, conveniently located in East Village. And we were working so hard, opening it up and getting licensing and doing all the work, that we never picked out a name for it. We didn't know what it was going to be called. So I was sitting having my food with my wife and my little boy, and Kathy said, how was your day? And I said, oh, New York Magazine was going to do an article, and they wanted to know what we're calling our bar. And she goes, oh, yeah, what are you going to call it? Now, you got to understand that in the process of opening up our bar, I was evicted from my apartment because I quit my job down at the Wall Street Law Firm. And we literally got kicked out of our apartment. We had just found a new apartment. We had to borrow money from my mom to pay the rent. And we had went through a lot of rough times with the baby.
What happens when you open a business?
Lost my health insurance. So we were like, she put up with a lot. And she had been totally understanding. Like never came down on me. Never, like, everything that happened, she was, like, on my side. She knew what was going to go into opening a new business. And she was the one that said, you'd be good at doing this, so do it. Right? Anyway, so they were interviewing us, they're gonna write us about it. They wanted to know what to call the bar. I said, well, it's called 25 Jones. Her face went from white, as English people are, white, to red. She like her ears, smoke started coming out of her ears, and her nose started like flames coming out of her eyes. She like flipped out. It's like, what? I'm like, 25 Jones. Why are you calling it that? It's like, well, because that's what we're going to call the other place, and, you know, I don't know. What's wrong? And she, like, started shivering. She grabbed me by the throat. She said, I did not go through all of that for you to name this bar with the wrong address. My favorite beer story. I'm going to tell this to people, and I love good beer, and I have for a really long time, but I was here in New York City, and I played hooky from work. I used to work down on Wall Street at a law firm, and I ride my bike to work every day, and I rode my bike. I went down to work, and I said, to hell with it. I'm not going to work today. I called in well. It's like, I feel too good to go to work today. So I got on my bike, I turned around, and I rode up to Central Park, and it was one of those, like, early summer days where it's really sunny, blue skies, those perfect, perfect days. And I went up to the sheep meadow, and this is the days when they would have all these, like, Hispanic guys walking around the park selling beers that had a big bag, ice-cold cans of beer. And they'd have Budweiser tall boys, those 16-ounce Budweisers, for $1, and they had Heineken bottles for $2. And I went, got off my bicycle, I laid down in the sun, in the grass, and it was perfect, and it was really hot, and I was sweaty. It was a long ride from Wall Street, and I said, I just raised my hand up as I was laying in the grass, and the guy came by, Cerveza, Cerveza! And I had a dollar in my hand. He took the dollar, gave me a Budweiser tall boy. And I'm like, all right, it's Budweiser. It's really cold. It came out of a bucket of ice, or a bag of ice. And the first thing I did was I put it on my forehead. And and then I opened it. Then I opened it, and I drank it. And that, I gotta say, was one of my favorite beers I've ever had in my life. For the first third of the can, once it started getting warmer and I could taste it, not so good anymore. But when it was ice cold, it was really a wonderful beer. What a wonderful day. And I think that when you say what's your favorite beer, it always depends so much on who you're with, where you're at, what's going on, what music's playing, you know, what the weather smells like, what it smells, you know, everything that's going on, all the sensory stuff is so important to your best beer. And I've had people ask me, it's like, I was in Belgium, and I had this great beer. I was with my girlfriend, and it was a beautiful night, and we had this beer, and it was something blah, blah, blah. And But it was so wonderful, and I said, you know what? I've got that blah, blah beer, but I don't have your girlfriend, and I don't have the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and what that moment was. You know, it's like so much of that depends upon the sensory around you, what's going on around you. But, what was the question?
On a first date, what beer would you buy your lady?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, whatever she asked for.
Aww.
Great sadness that we mourn the loss of Ray Dieter, owner of the DBA Bars and co-host of Beer Sessions Radio. Ray made this studio brighter every Tuesday at 5 p.m. with his larger-than-life personality, charm, wit, charisma, and expertise. We hope the archives of Ray on our station will serve as some kind of window into the life of a man who meant so much to those he knew and those he didn't know. And on behalf of everybody here at Heritage Radio Network, we thank you, Ray.
And they've been doing that for many, many years. And how do they get that barrel of beer? Did you ever hear of a place called Beer Mountain?
Where's I have that? Not, actually.
Beer Mountain is a place that I climb every once in a while to find barrels of beer for my customers. I go up there. I wear big, heavy boots. I carry a sled with me because there's snow and ice. And, and I go to the top of the mountain and I bring back barrels and bottles of beer for the people at my bars. And that's where I got it from, Beer Mountain.
You're awesome, Ray.
It's better for growing things. There's just more rain and more regular temperatures, not as harsh a winter.
Sure.
So it just became more economically viable to grow it there.
Can I just make a statement? I want to apologize to everybody that asked me why hops weren't grown in New York State, because I've told everybody there was a hop blight. I just pulled that out of my ass.
So why did you open a bar in New Orleans?
Well, everybody asks that question. The basic reason I opened a bar in New Orleans, down there, obviously it's a drinking town. There's a lot of drinking town. It's also a culinary town. They have some of the best restaurants in the country down there, and people told us we were crazy bringing a good beer, good whiskey, good drinking concept down to New Orleans, because all the people wanted was, you know, huge ass buds. And that's all well and fine, and there's a lot of fun to be had on Bourbon Street, but there's a lot of shit going on down there away from Bourbon Street. And we opened up DBA in 2000, and we had a slow beginning because we had a pretty good list and people were like kind of intimidated. But once the restaurant people, the chefs, the service people in the restaurant industry kind of got wind that we were down there and we had a great beer selection, we got filled up pretty fast. I mean, it worked out real well. And we opened our second place called Mimi's down there. And another aspect about it is down there, you know, a bar owner is a respected member of the community. We pay our taxes, we employ people, and we're part of the whole trade industry down there, the whole tourist industry. In New York City, we're not treated quite the same, and you know that as well as I speak. We're kind of treated as we're not a respected member of the business community as bar owners, necessarily.
So you like New Orleans?
I love New Orleans.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. Ray Dieter, a.k.a. Bootsy Collins, was just on the air. Ray, what was it like in the old days? Did you have a band or something? Bootsy Collins, Ray Dieter, DBA.
I play guitar a little bit, but yeah, it was kind of boring. The beer business is a lot more fun, Jimmy.
You're just too cool, man. I love you, man.
Ray, tell us the Tom Peters story. I know you've known him for years.
Yeah, you know, I have known him for years, and all the stories that I have about Tom, I cannot tell you on the radio.
How about a general beer theme story, like
okay,
the first time you met him? How about that?
Okay, the first time I met Tom, he was running a bar in Philadelphia called
Copa 2,
right. And I went down there. DBA was a brand new bar. We went down there, and he was one of the most generous, wonderful guys. He's like, oh, DBA, I love you guys. Like, how did he hear about us? I have no idea. But he knew who we were, and he treated us like kings. And free food, free drinks. So generous. And then I found out that he didn't own the place. So it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
If anyone's offering a course like that, it's a scam. It's
absolutely. I took a course at NYU about opening a bar, and it was just a fallacy. It was just ridiculous. They have no idea. It's all about math, too. And the math they talk about is really fun, but it's really not pertinent to what you do on a day-to-day living. Yeah, we need beer. Can somebody open some beer?
All right,
up?
I'm all over this. Give me a minute. Give me a
My
bottle.
My glass is empty.
This is the first show. We haven't been drinking beer nonstop.
Right. Hey, Ray, how are you? How was your weekend?
You know, my New Year's was fine. I made a few bad choices, but you're supposed to. That's just what it is. New Year's is about making bad decisions. And I did that. But all in all, it's okay. I lived through it.
Like I say, we're the only brewery in the world. We have wooden oak casks. So
yeah. When are we going to get some keys?
That's the reason. I mean, these casks, we sell them in England. You can't ship these things across the Atlantic Ocean.
How about if provide the casks?
Even if we do provide the
when
casks.
When I say we, I mean by America.
Well,
and by America, I mean Union. Union beer.
Cask beer, done the traditional way, as we do it, has a shelf life of probably about a week after it... after it's brewed.
Yeah, but we after have some casks coming over here. I know the Shelton Brothers bring some casks in. I know that the United, another importer, brings some casks.
I mean, that's fantastic.
And they're
well, fine. I'm really glad that you appreciate, you know, that's great for you that you
no
have
pressure.
English cask beer. But, I mean, that's, I mean, to be brutally honest, the way that we do things at Sam Smith's is that we are very, very traditional, and that's what our what we believe our success is based on is sticking to what
best. But IPA was made to be sent to India, and that's before airplanes and big steamships. I mean, if you really want to be traditional, you can, like, you know, we can get a donkey cart to come around south of Africa or whatever on a tramp steamer and bring it over. But I think it's time for Samuel Smith's to be available in cask occasionally for special events in New York.
A lot of the beers in England, I mean, most of the breweries, the old school English ale breweries, would make a barley wine, but it wasn't, they weren't proud of them. It was something that they kept under the shelf, and it was something that, like, the old guy with the really greasy red woolly cap in the corner would get a little glass, and it was like, you'd get a little bottle of it, it was about 6 ounces, and he'd pour it into his ale.
Yeah.
Because nobody would sit there and pound barley wine like we do here in America.
Right. Yeah.
And that barley wine that he was pouring into his ale.
It was fortification,
right. His ale was about 3.5%. It was a session beer. And the barley wine back in the day was probably about 6%, 6.5%.
Right.
And he didn't want to be seen drinking that because only old drunks drank barley wine. But that's a whole old profile.
Little nip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, so he would do, he would dip that little glass into his ale, and he would drink that. He'd sip that and quietly have a nice day.
Can't wait to be old.
All right. That's our good friend, Ray Dieter. And thank you, Ray. I'd like to thank our sponsors at GreatBrews.com and the Good Beer Seal for their continued support of Beer Sessions Radio. Thanks to Evan and Craig from Barrier Brewing and everyone else at the Heritage Radio Network for their wonderful tribute to Ray Dieter. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jackie Inslee and Bri O'Connor. Thanks to Ray. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
I casually mention the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer.